Hey there, everybody. This is Will Pruitt here with the All Access version of the ProWrestling.net Impact Wrestling audio review. We're doing it All Access today, so gonna get some plugs out of the way first thing. Number one, if you haven't checked it out yet, we're hyping this hard on the site. Check out the followingcontest.com. Chris Shore, the assistant editor or something like that of ProWrestling.net, the number two on the site, if you will, has released a new book. It's a wrestling-based piece of fiction, and I'm actually taking time out of reading it to do this audio right now. So thus far, I'm a few chapters in. It's a good read. Just came out last night. Check out the followingcontest.com. Follow the Smashwords link on there. It's only 99 cents to get the book, and you won't be disappointed. I know Chris is really proud of it, so also be sure to drop him a line at the Shore Slant on Twitter and let him know how much you're enjoying it. Second plug, if you like audio and you're listening to this podcast, so I'm sure you do, you really should check out the ProWrestling.net membership option. For $7.50 a month, you get reviews of all of the major shows, Raw, SmackDown, and Impact on a Impact Wrestling on a weekly basis. On top of that, you get Q&As with Chris Shore and Jason Powell. You get the .net countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett. You also get the flagship .net weekly, where Jason Powell and Chris Shore go through the news of the week and often break first run news that you're not going to hear anywhere else. You're not even going to see it in writing on our own website. On top of that, with the membership option, you get the first look at a lot of breaking news as it goes down. Jason's got a ton of sources, and he'll give members the first look a day or two early on some news stories for you to wow your friends with. Also, you get the member-exclusive interviews that Jason's done with Jeremiah Riggs and Michelle Dighton of Tough Enough. The two-hour sit-down interview with Shane Hurricane Helms. It's a really great interview, that one. Also interviews with Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel, former WWE creative team member Court Bauer. Just all sorts of goodness on the .net member site. But that's enough plugging. Let's talk about Impact Wrestling. The main story of this show to me is really how small everything is that is not Sting versus Hulk Hogan. And if you look at how they've kind of decided to tell this story and weave in guys like Kurt Angle, Sting versus Hulk Hogan is still the main feature of the show. And I think that's a problem. So let's check out real quick, just, you know, mentally go back. Kurt Angle, your TNA World Champion, now kind of subservient to Hulk Hogan. Okay. You know, Sting gets a world title shot on this show. All right, the world title picture is secondary or tertiary to Hulk Hogan versus Sting. That's the main story in TNA right now. That's the biggest thing going on. And I don't see that changing. When you look at your Final Four in the Bound for Glory series, you've got Robert Roode, James Storm, Gunner, and Bully Ray. One of those men is going to go on to presumably fight Kurt Angle at the next pay-per-view at Bound for Glory after their whatever it's going to be at No Surrender. Well, okay, so one of them is going to Bound for Glory? Kurt Angle versus Robert Roode. Okay, that's decent. Kurt Angle versus James Storm. Again, decent. Nice babyface options, right? Kurt Angle versus Bully Ray? And Kurt Angle versus Gunner. Those are kind of your main event options, barring a title change. And I don't even see who else you can put the world title on to make those matches more attractive. So, your TNA title match at Bound for Glory, I doubt it's even going to be in the main event slot. And I'm not one of those title matches always need to be in the main event slot guys. I think the last four years, actually, there have been matches that should have been in the main event slot at WrestleMania and weren't. I think at WrestleMania 24, Michaels versus Flair. You could have made that the main event and no one would have blinked an eye. Michaels versus Undertaker 1 at WrestleMania 25 should have been. Michaels versus Undertaker 2 at WrestleMania 26 definitely earned its place to go on last. And then, of course, Triple H versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 27 really should have gone on last this past year. So, you know, I'm not one of those guys who sits around going, title matches on last. It is what it is. You know, you put your biggest match on last. With this buildup, I don't see any way that Sting versus Hulk Hogan isn't on last at Bound for Glory, and I don't see any way that that is a good choice. It's just sad that they've made their world title mean so little, and it's not compared to something epic. It's not like their world title means so little compared to The Undertaker's streak. I mean, not to sit here and go, well, WWE does things right, because they don't. They don't all the time. And the world title should mean more than the streak. But the streak has this life of its own. The streak has this legend of its own. It's this tangible feeling that you get about the streak that says it really matters. You don't get that about the TNA title, and you don't get that about Hulk Hogan versus Sting in 2011. 14 years after they had a really bad match at Starrcade 1997. So, let's get into the show now. This was, of course, the September 1st edition of Impact, and Impact took the show on the road. This was in Huntsville, Alabama. They taped this last Thursday night. It was part of a double taping, and the next show will, of course, air next week. And the show opened. TNA looks great when they go on the road, but I don't think they did enough at the top of the show to really expose just how great they look. The show opened just with a live shot in the arena, and again, if this is supposed to be one of those quote-unquote epic editions of Impact, I think you roll with your regular Impact opening, that video package that they show at the beginning of some episodes, and then maybe a video package talking about the recent events in the company. I know it's cliche at this point to open a wrestling show with video packages all the time, and they're trying to break from that, but you don't have pyro, you don't have a whole lot. You open with that, and then you cut to the crowd, hard shots of the crowd, show them getting into it, cheering, and all that. And honestly, when you go on the road like this, I know pyro costs a ton, but there's just something so major league about cutting into a big arena and watching some pyro go off. It is, you know, it's one of those things that we've come to say wrestling shows do, and you need to show that your show can do it. It sounds bad, but it puts the image in viewers' minds that you are on par with WWE, and that is what you want. That is why you're going to these arenas. So then Hulk Hogan came out, which is always good. And then he said Hulk Hogan, or the network is making sure that on Thursday, September 15th, on that episode of Impact Wrestling, Sting and Ric Flair will face each other. And if Sting loses, he has to retire. If Flair loses, then Sting gets a shot at Hulk Hogan. Okay. I mean, you know, there is this pay-per-view coming up. 10 or 11, something. There's this pay-per-view coming up in a few days, and the thought might be, let's promote that pay... Oh, wait. But Impact is on. Of course we want to promote Impact. I'm pretty sure that's a live edition. That's another on-the-road edition of Impact. I'm not absolutely sure, because I can't be bothered to research this. But if it is, then I understand that why they're hyping a big main event for an on-the-road edition of Impact. And Hogan says it's time they stop bowing down to the network and time for the network to bow down to him. And then Kurt Angle's music hit. And Angle came to the ring and Hogan said, Angle, brother, I'm sorry I had to tell you the truth about Dixie Carter. And Hogan said the company was sick when he arrived and he is just about ready to give this company a clean bill of health. But you, Kurt Angle, tonight need to cut that Dixie Carter cancer called Sting out of this company. And Angle said, Hulk, I came down here to tell you that your enemies, they're now my enemies. The people that you don't like, I don't like either. And so on and so forth. So, that was kind of bleh. I mean, again, it's Kurt Angle coming down and being subservient to Hulk Hogan, making Hulk Hogan the biggest star in the company. Side note on Hogan real quick. He was not wearing his bandana that has the hair extensions sewn into it. And it was kind of awkward because he just had this kind of do-rag on and you could see blonde sideburns. But there was no long blonde hair sticking out. Are we going to see a fully bald Hulk Hogan at some point? Is that the plan? Is he actually going to go fully bald? I mean, I would be shocked. I would be amazed if they found a way to get Hulk Hogan to go fully bald. But, you know, I digress. Then Sting came out. Man, Sting is crazy. Let's just put that out there. Sting is crazy. You know, he said he's honored to be part of Kurt Angle's hit list that also includes the Young Stars, and, you know, then basically said, you know, said to Angle, he's all in, and he has to go through Kurt, then Flair, and then he gets his hands on the grand prize, Hulk Hogan. Once again, Kurt Angle is tertiary. He's the TNA World Champion. And there is a TNA World Championship match tonight between Sting and Hulk and Kurt Angle. But Kurt Angle is only the third. You know, he's the third place prize. He's at, you know, he's just a stepping stone to get to the second prize, which is Ric Flair, and to get to the grand prize of Hulk Hogan. It's this positioning that I really have a problem with, and I know it's kind of what Hogan does. But it's this idea that it goes, you know, Hogan up top, and then Ric Flair. Which, Ric Flair in second? The dude's over 60. I mean, he has health issues that make it so he can barely wrestle. Come on. And then finally, Kurt Angle, your TNA World Champion, who, you know, there are some health issues with him, too. It's like the top acts in TNA right now, Kurt Angle, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Sting. Which of the four of them do you expect to still be wrestling in 2 years? Really? I mean, maybe Kurt Angle, but Sting, Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair, I pray that they are not wrestling in 2 years. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So then they hit Sting's music, and Hogan said, no, 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 you turn that really craptastic guitar music off. I'm Hulk Hogan. You play my crappy music at the end of a segment. And he also mentioned that tonight he would be the special guest enforcer for the match, and he asked the production team to play his music. The problem I had with this segment was just the way things were positioned. It's just, I can go on about old-timers and they should retire and whatever, but really I want to talk about making new stars. And I can get to that in just a moment, because the announcers checked in and ran down the card for the rest of the show. Big deal here for me. When at the end of an opening segment, and TNA does really well with this. WWE should have done this on Monday night. TNA always runs down their card for at the end of the opening segment. This is what you're getting tonight, especially for these big editions of Impact. This is the card. Got the graphics up, got it all. On Monday night, WWE had that big tag match. They had CM Punk versus The Miz. And they had John... Was it John Cena? Oh, he was in the tag match. Dear God. Anyways, they had another big match. Oh, Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler. Show us graphics for all three of those right after the opening segment, and then maybe say Orton versus Ziggler is next. I mean, just plan better when you're talking about your card that way. Anyways, they replayed Samoa Joe breaking Crimson's leg, and then they showed a video package of for the final four in the Bound for Glory series. It was Bully Ray, Robert Roode, and James Storm. And it was kind of a lackluster video package. I didn't like it. And they mentioned that the next match would determine the last member of the final four, and that match was Gunner against Rob Van Dam. Why not have... Okay. But logically, the... If I were to list some of the best promos in TNA, I would say James Storm, I'd say Robert Roode, and I would say Bully Ray. In the last year, the three of these guys have broken out on the mic. They're fantastic. Robert Roode's great. James Storm is great. Bully Ray is great. And you just put them in a little video set package? You don't have them come out to the ring. You don't let them rile up the crowd. You don't let Bully Ray get heat. Let Robert Roode and James Storm discuss how their tag team is going to be breaking up. You don't do that. It's just a mistake. That's what it is. And I mean, I would have had the three of them sitting outside watching Gunner versus Rob Van Dam, sitting outside the ring, at ringside, whatever, watching this match because they are so curious and so into this Bound for Glory series. So this match was Gunner defeating Rob Van Dam in a Bound for Glory series match in 4 minutes and 54 seconds. And a Samoa Joe came out the moment the match started. Matt Morgan got off commentary and blocked him and then got kicked in the crotch. Back in the ring, RVD looked like he was taking control. But then Jerry Lynn runs out. And Jerry Lynn got sent to the back by Rob Van Dam after Rob Van Dam confronted him. RVD's fighting for this, y'all. And then RVD hit a Vantaminator for a near fall. And then he went to the top for a five-star frog splash. And Lynn ran down again and pushed him off the ropes. And Gunnar immediately hit a running knee and won the match. So Gunnar is the last member of your Final Four in the Bound for Glory series. And you know, it is what it is. I don't like Gunnar that much. And I think the Bound for Glory series has had more failures than it has successes in the long run. TNA really needs to look at this concept and reevaluate it if they're going to use it next year. But the overall, you know, it just, Jerry Lynn, I think the guy deserves another chance. I like him a lot as a wrestler. But Jerry Lynn needs to improve his look. I look at him right now. He's wearing oversized t-shirts, has the long stringy blonde hair. Jerry Lynn looks like he's been living out of his car for a week or two. I mean, you know, and it's a major league thing when you're looking at a wrestling, you know, when you're looking at a wrestling show, you want the wrestlers to look major league. He doesn't need to look polished and, you know, super modern. I'm not asking for that, but I'm asking for Jerry Lynn maybe to not be wearing a t-shirt that's three sizes too big every time he's on TV. I get that that's what people did in the late 90s and it was cool, but now think about what you're doing before you put on the t-shirt. Then we had the entire Knockouts division make its way to the ring. And what, you know, you if you've seen the TNA road set, you know it's a series of three screens that lift up and there's a bunch of park hands behind it shooting light, just shooting crazy amounts of light out. It looks really good when, you know, the screens rise. And a generic Knockouts video played on the screen and all three screens rose and all of the Knockouts were kind of posing behind the screens and then they all walked to the ring together. My issue with this? These are the women who need an authority figure because they can't stop fighting each other backstage. That's why this whole quote-unquote Knockouts Law situation is happening. That's why the Knockouts are getting a Steve Austin-style sheriff. Remember when he was the sheriff of Raw? That was awful, right? Anyways, so that's why Knockouts Law is happening. And all of them are just posing together behind the screens like nothing is going on. And I know I complain about this whole division thing that TNA likes to do a lot, but it's irritating. Also irritating, let's move on to the next segment. In case you're wondering, Eric Bischoff is a sexist SOB. And how do you know that? Well, listen to him in this segment. He can't say it was written for him. He's on the freaking writing team. Or he works closely with them, and he's Eric Bischoff. He can say no. He comes out and says, you know, the Knockouts are proven ratings getters, but he's tired of dealing with all of their BS and goes into this big thing about, you know, how Tracy Brooks really earned this position and fought for it. And then you have him swerve us all and introduce Karen Angle as the new vice president in charge of the Knockouts division. And she mentioned that Tracy put out for the job and Eric chimed in to say she did it three times. Stay classy, Bischoff. And then Karen told Tracy that Tracy would be her assistant. They also mentioned in this segment that ODB and Jackie now have contracts, and they started celebrating, and I wondered, why are they celebrating? Going from unemployed to a TNA Knockouts contract, I mean, you're not going to make a lot of money. You're still going to have to work at the Sunglass Hut. For those of you who got that reference, I owe you a high five. So, I like that Karen is in this role. I like Karen Angle as a talker, and I think she's going to be good for this part. What I don't enjoy is the fact that they degraded the entire division as a bunch of sluts. And that's just wrong. That's not empowerment. That's not saying that women's wrestling matters to us. What it's saying is, yep, well, we don't really like women's wrestling, but we know some pervy dudes like to watch a show called TNA and gawk at our ladies, so we're going to bring them out there, and we're just going to do some stuff with them. No biggie. Awful idea. It's, yeah. And then they showed a replay, it was weird, of Mickie James and Winter getting into it before their Knockouts title match tonight, and that just kind of was what it was. Then our second match of the night. Jussie Sorensen and Brian Kendrick against Austin Aries and Kid Cash. This was weird. Aries and Cash were in the ring when we came back from the break, and TNA, I mean, especially up to this point in the show, just moving at a breakneck pace, just one thing after another, to the next, and it was like they were going, oh my god, we're on the road. Panic! We need to get everything in! When they could have just taken a minute, slowed it on down, and said, okay, we're on the road, yes. Let's do, you know, let's just do one thing at a time, though, and get things figured out. And had a better paced show. At this point, they were just trying to cram everything they could into the show. Which led to Austin Aries and Kid Cash not getting an entrance. And, you know, they need to watch what they are kind of in subtextually saying about their guys. Because that entrance set looks major league. But you're not letting us see Austin Aries and Kid Cash on it. These are supposed to be your two major heels of the X Division. But you're not letting us see him. Anyways, this match was Sorensen and Kendrick. Oh, also, Brian Kendrick debuted a new entrance hat that looked awful. I don't know who keeps coming up with the crap that Brian Kendrick is putting on, but fire them. Fire Kendrick. Fire anyone who has anything to do with this idea. Because Brian Kendrick looks awful. I don't care how good of a wrestler he is at this point. His act is bad. He is the worst act in TNA right now. I would rather watch a Hogan and Flair promo about how they're going to have a match and it's going to get bloody and crazy than watch a Brian Kendrick match because he's just a bad act. It's not going well. It's never gone well for Brian Kendrick in TNA, and this is another example of it. He really is the worst act in TNA. But Kendrick, this match ended. Basically, Kendrick and Aries brawled all the way to the back. Kid Cash clotheslined Sorensen from the top and followed up with a butterfly suplex. Moments later, Sorensen rolled up Cash for the win. Again, you're rebuilding your X Division. You want them, you know, and you're doing an okay job, aside from Brian Kendrick's existence. You have your baby faces, and you have your heels now. But the problem now is that no one is getting a real win. Or a decisive victory. Everyone's getting a roll-up, a fluke, a count-out, something. That is not saying, this wrestler is better than this wrestler, and you should pay attention and like this guy because he stands for this and believes this. They're just not doing it. And it's boring. I didn't like the tag match that much. There was some solid X Division action. But, you know, anytime there's more than two X Division guys in the ring, there has to be a Tower of Doom spot, and I'm just so tired of Tower of Doom spots from TNA. Sometimes they happen organically, and it's okay, but most of the time, they look like crap to set up, and then the impact is this big thing, but it really doesn't matter, because they're half the guys are up for the next spot right away. And then we saw a creepy video package about Winter and Angelina Love. That's all. Then backstage in a broom closet, Winter talked to Love about how they were going to eat Aunt Mickey James's bones. Sure. And then they showed a video package for Jeff Hardy returning, and it was kind of Hardy talking and saying he's had some personal troubles, he's made a lot of mistakes, and he's on the road to redemption. They said he'll return next week and is going to have a chance to address the live crowd. Interesting. I'm intrigued by the fact that they're talking about his personal issues as much as they are. I mean, everyone knows about them, but it's interesting. We can't say enough how bad the timing of bringing Jeff Hardy back when all of this Matt Hardy thunder douchery is going on. But it is what it is. And I think TNA can really have a shot at making Jeff Hardy sort of relevant. On this show, they talked so much about Hardy. There was a segment right after this with Angle and Hogan talking about him. Tanay and Taz talked about him. And they actually said on the air, last time we saw Jeff Hardy, he was a wreck. Wow. You had Daniels and Styles questioning why he was getting another chance with the company. There was a lot of talk about Jeff Hardy. So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of road to redemption thing ends up working out for him. I think it could be good. I also think it could be really bad. I mean, TNA has not shown themselves to exactly be classy on issues like this. So we'll see what they do. I'm going to reserve some judgment. I don't like bringing Hardy back right now, especially with what's in the news. But at the same time, if they can turn it into a compelling storyline, can you blame them? I don't think so. So, then we saw Mickie James come to the ring in a Pocahontas trench coat, according to Ryan Kester, who does excellent live coverage of the show, by the way. If you haven't checked out Ryan Kester's Impact Reports, it's where I'm pulling, you know, the actual outline of the recap of the show and some of his jokes, because he's funnier than me. But we had Mickie James defeating Winter to win the TNA Knockout title in 6 minutes and 10 seconds, and this was a lot better than their match at Hardcore Justice. The issue with it, of course, is that Winter just won the Knockout title from Mickie. Why did Mickie win it back this soon? What did they really do? What Winter now is a one-time Knockouts champion? Was that the whole goal of this? That, you know, not enough former champions were in the division, so they wanted to increase that count? What did Mickie do to, you know, what's going on that says Mickie James needed the title back? Is this supposed to be, I'm going to guess and say this is leading to Mickie James versus Angelina Love at Bound for Glory. That's probably what they see as their biggest and best woman's match right now. And I can't blame them for thinking that. It is. But you're not getting there the right way with this, I don't think. And with Mickie winning the belt back, I don't like it. Then after a brief commercial break, we got a video package about Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles. Then Matt Morgan came to the ring, took a mic, and said that Samoa Joe attacking him was suicidal. He said that Joe needed to face a man-to-man. Joe came up, headed to the ring, stopped halfway there, took out a referee, and then stormed to the ring. Joe and Morgan brawled for a bit before Morgan gained control and looked to, you know, do his basic moveset on Joe. And then he went for the carbon footprint. Joe got away. Joe dragged Morgan to ringside again. But Morgan, again, started beating on Joe. Morgan went for the footprint again, but Joe kicked him in the crotch again. Joe followed up with a huge chair shot to Morgan's arm while he wrapped it around a steel post. Here's my problem with this. Matt Morgan's coming off of an injury. He hasn't been active in a while. He hasn't done anything in a while. Why should Samoa Joe, the Samoan killing machine, the guy who's been presented as an absolute all-out monster the last few weeks, why should Morgan get the better of him offensively? I would understand if Joe were, say, just some guy out there hanging out, you know, some guy, but he's Samoa Joe. And I know that TNA really doesn't have any long-term plans for Joe, and that they don't really like pushing him because we want them to, or something like that. But I thought that this was really bad, this whole Joe-Morgan exchange. But I do like the idea. Joe has two opponents set up now. I'm guessing it's going to be Joe and Morgan at No Surrender, which is kind of funny that Morgan was eliminated from the Bound for Glory series after he was if he could compete this soon, because you could have easily had him in it. And then Joe and Crimson at Bound for Glory. Just a quick note on the Bound for Glory series. Have they cleared up what exactly the Final Four are going to have to do? I know at the beginning of it, they said, the Bound for Glory series will feature, you know, the Final Four in a four-way match to determine who will go to No Surrender. Okay. And then they said, the Bound for Glory series will feature the Bound for Glory series will feature two singles matches between the competitors in the top four, and the ones with the most points at the end of that will go to Bound for Glory. Really? That's, okay. They just haven't really said who it's going to be. I mean, I don't remember the point totals, to be honest. Also, we should talk about the unfairness of the Bound for Glory series in general. PW Torch had a great, you know, they've been following the series, and I think really just to be jerks about it, in a way, like, not really to be jerks, but to hold TNA accountable for their ideas. And the number of matches that each guy got was just ridiculous. Like, it's so, so wrong and different for each wrestler that it's kind of amazing. I'm actually going to bring that up right now because I think it's a fascinating discussion to look at. And again, all credit for this goes to PW Torch. They had a fantastic thing. Just a fantastic breakdown. They followed it all. So here's how the points break down. Bully Ray was number one with 49 points. Robert Roode was number two with 42 points. Gunner was also kind of number two, well, you know, tied with 42 points. And James Storm is number four with 40 points. Bully Ray received 14 matches. Robert Roode received 15 matches. Gunner had a whopping 19 matches. And James Storm had 12 matches. Going down the line, Rob Van Dam had 13 matches. AJ Styles had 11 matches. Scott Steiner had 9 matches. The Pope had 17 matches. Samoa Joe had 10 matches. Crimson has had 10 matches. Brother Devon had 15 matches. And Matt Morgan had 5 matches because he got injured early in the series. But that's your Bound for Glory series right there. The guy, you know, the most matches someone had was 19. And the least, aside from Matt Morgan, was 9. That doesn't seem fair. Does it? That doesn't seem right. And according to what the Torch has right now, is that what the Torch has up right now, they believe, and they may have said this on Impact, and I might have missed it, so forgive me if I did, that it will be Bully Ray against James Storm in a number one versus number four match, and Robert Roode against Gunner in a number two versus number three match. And then those two, the winner of those two matches will go on to the final, which I'm going to predict right now and say it's going to be beer money imploding. So, it's kind of, I'm not a huge, huge fan of where they're going. I'm really not. I know I probably should be, but this tournament has just turned out to be so convoluted and so silly, and I have so much wrong with it that they can put on the best match in the world between Bully Ray and, or between Robert Roode and James Storm, and it's just gonna be there. Then they showed a advertisement for Sacrifice and Slammiversary in a 2-pack. If you want two of the worst pay-per-views of the last few years, pick this one up. And they had a really nice Matt Hardy shot in there. That's nice. And then we had Robbie E talking to Rob Terry again at the gym, talking about how they should team up. And Eric Young showed up in a banana hammock and challenged Johnny D, whoever that is, to a TV title match. So it looks like Eric Young has inadvertently scheduled a TV title match with an actual wrestler. I'm as worried as you are. And then backstage, Styles and Daniels were talking. This is where Styles mentioned Hardy's return, and Daniels questioned why he was getting another chance. Seems kind of strange. I mean, I think the idea is to bring Hardy back as a babyface, but the problem is, are the fans going to buy into him as a babyface? I mean, you've got the main babyfaces on the show sitting there going, man, why the hell are we giving this guy another chance? I mean, he's a loser. I mean, not that they should be on TV endorsing Hardy, but it seems like someone's going to have to. Maybe Dixie Carter is going to come back and be like, we're a big happy family here at TNA and no one gets fired. Hulk Hogan, you made me lose my job, but you're wearing red and yellow now and I love you. Side note. How is Hulk Hogan going to turn babyface? What is the idea there? Because he's already said in interviews, brother, I'm turning babyface in October, and I'm going to be coming out to the Eye of the Tiger, brother. Oh, yeah. No, that's Macho Man. Just pretend I didn't say that oh, yeah part. But Macho Man's more of an, ooh, yeah, dig it. But, you know, such is life. But how are they going to turn him babyface? Are they going to turn Sting heel? Oh, my God. Is Sting versus Hulk Hogan going to be a double turn? Are they going to attempt a double turn with Sting and Hulk Hogan? I'm sorry. The idea is so ridiculous to me that I can't help but laugh when I think about it. How are they going to turn Hulk Hogan babyface? Or is Sting going to turn heel and be the dastardly Joker? Since we know Vince Russo has his fetish with Sting as a heel, and he's always wanted to turn him heel, and he's tried with the Main Event Mafia and tried so many other times and keeps failing at it. And I know when I have failed multiple times, I just keep trying again, damn it. Yeah. So I wonder about Sting as a heel and all that, and I seriously wonder about kind of Hulk Hogan as a babyface at that point and what he's really worth. Anyways, back from the break, Hogan again talked to the Immortal Troops about Jeff Hardy, and he said, they need all of us here to take out Sting, and Abyss made a sad face, because that's what Abyss does now. So, then we had Christopher Daniels defeating AJ Styles in 7 minutes and 3 seconds in a good match. A really good match from those two. I mean, I expect nothing less from them. They disappointed at Destination X, but I don't think, you know, they plan to disappoint again, and they didn't have to fill 30 minutes here. They had to fill 7, so they could go a little more all out. This match ended, Styles went to the top rope and slipped, and Daniels pounced on him after he slipped and got the pin. Again, you know, Daniels won because of AJ Styles' mistake, not because of his own move or move set. But Daniels was elated after he got the pinfall, super happy about it. And Styles was like, okay, whatevs. Went to shake Daniels' hand, and Daniels blew him off and walked out of the ring. Not in, like, an angry way, but in a joyous, gleeful way. So, I guess the story now will probably go to AJ wanting a rematch, Daniels not wanting to give it to him, and the dissolving friendship between them continuing. I guess, and say this ends up in a match at No Surrender. I mean, how many matches are there on the No Surrender card right now? Like, 2? There's the Bound for Glory series matches, which are going to be 2 to 3, and what else? Yeah. So, it was a good match, not a great match. I didn't love this match, but, you know, the two worked hard, and it was okay. Then, the participants in the main event were shown walking to the ring, and Kurt Angle defeated Sting to retain the TNA title with Hulk Hogan as a special guest and Ford enforcer in 631. And I've got to give a shout-out right now to .NET member Air Force Rambus, who said in the forum, the main event ended with interference. And now I know that seems like a no-brainer, but it's a pretty funny thing to put up here. I'm going to actually bring it up right now to make sure that I get this correct. And I'm sure he's going to be elated about the shout-out. But he said, oh, look, it ended with interference. Just brilliant, Rambus. You keep up that good work in the forum, brother. So, this match did end with interference. We had a little bit of an overrun, but a gunner ran down with a steel chair. An angle tapped, but the referee was distracted. So Sting let go of the hold and jawed with Hogan. But Angle hit the angle slam on the chair to get the 3 count and the win. So, it ended with interference. Post-match, Sting took out Kurt and Hogan, was all alone, then a mortal charge and attacked Sting. And then Mr. Anderson's music hit, and he ran out with Sting's baseball bat and cleared the ring. The show went off the air with Sting and Anderson in the ring and a mortal on the ramp, looking all afraid-like. Okay, so Sting and Mr. Anderson are kind of frenzies now, or at least, you know, begrudging allies against a common evil. Here's my issue with that. The whole reason Sting is crazy Joker Sting is because Mr. Anderson drove him to that point. That was the story. That's where they went with this. And now Sting is still crazy Joker Sting, and Anderson is like, what's up, buddy? I used to dress like you. Which, I also want to add, if at any point in the next couple months they're thinking about having Sting and Mr. Anderson tag up together, man, I think the way to do it is to have Mr. Anderson dress like the old Sting and have Sting dress up like the new Sting. Man, that'll be hot! Anyways, so this show, like I said, the main story is two old guys who shouldn't be wrestling and the match they are about to have with each other. I don't know about you, but hearing that that's the main story does not exactly compel me to go out and spend a ton of money on pay-per-views. In fact, it compels me to stop watching this product altogether. But I'm not going to do that because I care about you people too much. And I care about providing you with the best Impact audio that you can get for free on the ProWrestling.net podcast every few weeks. Anyways, not a good edition of Impact. I'd say this is the worst of their kind of on-the-road shows, and I don't feel like they took a lot of advantage of the on-the-road atmosphere. If possible, they looked better when they were in, where was that, North Carolina or whatever, a few months back, the show where Sting returned and won the TNA title. They looked a lot better at that show than they did on this one. On this show, they just, maybe the set's just starting to blend into me, or it's just starting to kind of get tired, I don't know. But the show just didn't look as cool, the lighting wasn't as good, the crowd didn't seem all that hot, and you know, considering it was a crowd that was mostly got in for free, so it was probably people who didn't care much about the product who just said, yeah, it's a free wrestling show on this Thursday night. I'll head out, whatevs, grab a beer, you know, enjoy it. TNA has a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do, and it seems like they are fine with where they are. It seems like they're cool with the central story being what it is, and that's an error. It's a serious error in judgment, and TNA needs to work on it. Anyways, again, what am I going to be doing for the rest of the day? Probably sitting around reading Chris Shore's new book. The following contest is a dark match. You can check it out at thefollowingcontest.com and support Chris. It's a buck. It's, you know, I'm a few chapters in. It's a good read thus far. And yeah, support Chris. Support what he's doing. There's not a whole lot of wrestling-based fiction out there, so. Other things you can look forward to on ProWrestling.net. This coming Wednesday, I will be going to the opening night of the elaborate entrance of Chad Deity, and going to be watching that show and reviewing it for the site. For those of you who don't kind of know my background, I am currently in the final year of getting my MFA in theater, so this combination of wrestling and theater is really ideal, and it's something that I'm excited to watch happen on stage. I feel like, you know, this is going to sound super arrogant, but I bring a unique perspective to this that other people don't, or that other reviewers who are either just from the theater world or just from the wrestling world won't, because I do understand both. Yeah, that's me tooting my own horn. Also, some big things happening on the side. I mean, as always, member audio, up the wazoo. It's a lot of fun to be a .NET member. It's a lot of fun. You know, you've got the .NET forum, a great group of guys in there. You heard me reference it a few times during this audio, and we have a good time in the .NET forum. We also have a good time doing audio for you guys, so thank you so much for listening, and if you want more, check out ProWrestling.net. There's a link on the right-hand side of the page where you can become a member and see all the benefits of being a member, so check that out. And for Will Pruitt, I want to thank you for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast, and I'm signing off.